This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fans are on the edge of their seat. It's building. It's building. It's electric at the moment.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes, yes, yes.
There's the siren. Arms in the air. The sun has gone through. What are we seeing? Just incredible.
Bunch of boys can't get enough when the girls don't need your love. Cool says boys don't cry.
This is GayFL.
Hey, 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 out there. It is GayFL, which means it's 9 p.m. on Wednesday. This is a queer footy show, and I'm Chris.
And I'm Brendan, and we're so excited to talk about the Grand Prix.
Oh, no.
We don't know anything about the Grand Prix.
I don't know anything. I think there was a car race in Melbourne on the weekend.
Yeah, there was a couple of car races.
It's apparently a big deal.
Oh, I guess so. Anyway, so we're here to talk about
football.
Woo! And it started. I don't know about you, Chris. I cannot believe the footy season has started. It felt like such a long and arduous off season, and now it's started. I literally cannot contain myself.
The funny thing was, it did feel like a long and arduous off season, and then all of a sudden it was just here, and I was just completely unprepared.
But anyway, for those that were listening earlier, you were just listening to Wellness Wednesdays with the team. They're always before us on a Wednesday night, so shout out to them. We had a guest appearance with them last week, actually, with our talk therapy to be with Maxie and Ashley. It's available on Joy and all UA, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we were talking about work burnout, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. But before we get into what we are talking about, let's not forget, if you want to join the conversation, text us in on 0427 Joy 949 or on the Joy app.
That's it. Now, let's do it. I don't know where to start.
I know exactly where to start when we're talking about the opening round. Are you ready for it? I've actually made an executive decision, though.
I'm leaving?
No, no, no. I can't do this without you. So I'm not calling it opening round. I'm flat out refusing to call it opening round for this episode. So I'm going to call it what my brother has affectionately known it as. Thank you, Mike, if you are listening to this, which is round zero.
Hey, I mean, that works for me. I mean, it's kind of basically what it is, right?
Yeah. I mean, I there's nothing like going into round one for the traditional season opener when half the teams have already played last week. Paul Cullen and Richmond.
I get confused. I don't know where I am most of the time. But yeah, when there's round zero and then round one, I don't know what's going on.
It confuses me so much, but that's okay. I'm sure we will work it out by the end of the show.
Well, let's talk about it. I love to dive in, and let's have a bit of a look at opening round that was.
I think I'd really like to start, if I may be so bold.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to offer you two words which I think sums up my take on opening round. Christian Petrarca.
Yeah. Oh my God. Firstly, I just want to say we have such admiration. That guy is such an amazing player, so talented. Having conversations with him in person, so lovely.
Such a sweetheart.
But goddamn, does he look good in the red.
He does look good in red. And mm-hmm. Aside from how great it was to see him looking physically fit and mentally well for the first time in a couple of years since that horrific injury.
Mm.
I would just like to point out that he played, and this is not an original thought, the best football I've seen him play in years.
Yeah, he just seemed like the passion. Like, we all know what happened when he had the injury at Melbourne, and you can say what you want about it, and his lovely wife certainly did.
We'll let her speak for it.
Feeling like that, you know, Melbourne didn't quite support him as much as what he would have liked, and I don't necessarily disagree with that. But you could see that he was defeated, and I think, I don't even know what's a sea change. Is it a sea change? I don't know.
We'll call it a sea change because he's gone up north. And do you know what, though? You meant just mentioned how he was defeated at Melbourne, but when he got that first goal for the Gold Coast, you would have thought it was his 100th.
All the boys getting around him, the excitement. Mm-hmm. But just you could see the spark in his eyes was back, the passion,
the fire.
And he was just, he's one of those. One of those legendary players where when he's on, he is on. And watching him is truly such a pleasure to watch.
It's a masterclass.
And he was, oh my God. Not only did he get, was it three goals or four goals?
I think it was three goals. Yeah.
But he was involved in so many touches. He had, so I think it was his personal best. I know the AFL rated it was his best game in his career. Like, he was just fantastic.
And we don't need a long conversation about this, but do you know who also played exceptionally well in their first game for their new club? Clayton Oliver, also from Melbourne, going to the GWS, playing better than he's played in years. I'm going to leave you out there to draw whatever comparisons you want from that, but, you know, it needs to be said.
Absolutely. But I'd love to really talk about, like, that opening game, Sydney versus Carlton last Thursday. It was so bloody exciting. And it was, it didn't go exactly the way I thought it was going to. Look, the end result ended up being the same. Mm-hmm. But Carlton didn't give up until, you know, that premiership quarter.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, it's pretty iconic that in round zeroth, we had two of the games of the season already, with the Bulldogs game and also the Sydney game. And Matt, if you're listening, I'm going to say one nice thing about the Bulldogs this season, which is they put on a show that night. It was iconic and I was really here for it.
Yeah. I think as well, Sydney, I want to highlight, like, everyone seemed to play a part, but Chad Warner, everyone knows he's amazing, but I almost feel like the guy's underrated.
He's a real barometer for the team. When Chad's on, Sydney's on. And the game that Essendon beat Sydney last year, he couldn't kick straight. So I do think he is one of those barometer players, but he does fly under the radar a bit. I have a really interesting little Sydney stat, if I may be so bold. I'd just like to credit this where it came from, which is a Facebook page called Random Stats Guy. So I did not come up with this. So, you know, it sounds legit. So in 2005, Sydney won the opening round against the Hawks by 63 points, went on to win the flag. In 2012, Sydney beat GWS in the opening round by 63 points, went on to win the flag.
Wow.
In 2026, season opener against Carlton, they won by 63 points. Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe they'll start the season and finish the season the same way. Who knows?
I wouldn't put it past them.
No. But, I mean, yeah, I think most of the games was a pretty I think all the results were kind of the same. The only tip I got wrong, actually, was who did I get wrong? I think I got Bulldogs, Brisbane.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone saw that coming.
Look, my tipping was if you're playing along with us on the tipping comp, if you're not, go to our socials for it, because it's a lot of fun on the AFL side. My tipping, I'm not ashamed to admit, was terrible.
How did you? I think you got everyone right except
Bulldogs. I only got two right in the round. You got more than me.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I won our tipping last year, but I was so off my game. But it's opening round. You know, it's just for fun. But I'm not ashamed of that.
Yeah, and that sounds like a huge problem.
It does. And you know what, though? St Kilda. We didn't mention St Kilda.
Yeah.
I know they didn't get the 4 points, but that's the biggest home and away crowd they've ever played against.
Yeah, it was 82,000. Yeah. 82,500 was the biggest, the largest crowd for a home and away match involving St Kilda in their history.
Yeah, and the TV viewership for the opening round in general was also huge. The average viewership across opening round was 780,000 people per game, which is the highest opening round audience ever.
Wow. And that was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was 5 games. I don't know what to say. Footy, we love it.
Yeah, footy is back and we are back and we are excited about it. But I do just want to, you know, we spent a bit of time in the last couple of weeks analysing the rule changes because, you know, everyone freaks out when the rules change. Only one of those games wasn't over 100 points.
Yeah, it was. And the commentary, this isn't an original thought, but the commentary was that there is a really big sort of push to make the game a faster game. It is like, and I did describe it a while ago, but it's kind of like Monopoly with a speed die. And I'm not complaining. I think it makes such, you know, obviously the center bounce, it's such the Ruckman rule. It's more of an exciting game.
I think the AFL, there might be some more tweaks coming, but the AFL made some good changes this year and it's going to allow the game to stop stagnating in the center and around the bounce, which I think we're all here for. Higher scoring games means happier people, it means happier sponsors, everyone wins. What we also win, I would like to point out, is we are doing something a little different with our music tonight. We opened with Adam Lambert. We're going to play some Boys tonight. We don't usually play Boys on our show. And we are going to go to some very brief messages, followed by Strawberries and Cigarettes by Troye Sivan.
Remember when we first met? You said, light my cigarette. So I lied to my mom and dad. I jumped the fence when I read.
You're listening to Gay FL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris on Joy 94.9.
That's right. It's Gay FL with Brendan and Chris, and we're continuing on with opening round, or what does Mike call it?
Round zeroth.
Wow.
Oh my God, we just got a text. Thank you for whoever texts us in. Cars go vroom fast. Anyway, how did you find the football? Some upsets. Hey, that was preempting what we are going to talk about. So thank you. And yes, the cars did go vroom fast.
They do go fast.
That's about as much as I know about Grand Prix. So I'm glad I'm not the only one with that.
Let's talk about something we know about and something we, you know, we actually like to talk about.
Ourselves?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I suppose we can talk about the football as well.
So opening round, we want to reflect a little bit more. We'd be remiss to not talk about. I really want to talk a little bit more about the Sydney game.
Mm.
China Kerno, wow.
I mean, we talked about how good Christian Petrarca looked in red. What about Kerno?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, obviously against Carlton, he's
shady of the AFL to put that.
Yeah,
game first.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
They sure
know how
do.
To get some viewers, but yeah. He seemed pretty happy after the win, and it looks like there were some cute moments with him and Paddy Cripps just celebrating and high-fiving each other.
But, yeah.
He was another one, a masterclass in his performance. Mm. Like, it's really cool. One of my favorite things is watching a player who seems like they're a bit defeated and joining their new team and just seeing them exhilarated.
Yeah.
It's like a fresh start.
It's good for them. It's good for the game.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of he really did liven up a lot. And he's never not performed. He's been all class. But yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, we haven't really touched about it too much. But obviously, Western Bulldogs beating the Premiers Brisbane in a Gabba thriller.
That was such an upset.
That was a very big upset. And
I did not have that on my bingo card for this year.
Mm-hmm. I guess another one as well that was quite an upset, and we did talk about, you know, Track himself, but Gold Coast versus Geelong. Geelong just seemed like they were lost without, obviously Cameron wasn't playing.
They had a few injuries.
Cameron's out, Dangerfield was out.
Yeah.
They just did not seem to.
They looked lost.
They looked lost.
They didn't look
cohesive. They looked like they weren't playing as one school of fish team. Yeah. They were kind of all over the place. And there was no one that really stood out.
And the converse of that was how Gold Coast played.
Mm.
Like Dimmer, like love him or hate him, he is an amazing coach. And he is, you know, there is talk that the list depth at Gold Coast is deeper than the list depth in Tigers in their dynasty.
Mm.
And Gold Coast, they were that school of fish, that well-oiled machine. And I actually said to you before that game, and I didn't say it on air, and I regret it now, they're going to go all the way this year. They're either going to win it or they're going to at least make a prelim and bow out because of lack of finals experience. I see big things for Gold Coast.
So you're calling it Gold Coast?
I think Gold Coast will at least make the prelim.
Yeah. No, I'm not doubting you. I trust your judgment when it comes to footy.
They'd taken on Rioli. Daniel Rioli.
From
Richmond. He followed Dimmer up there. I forgot that. And it was, you know, obviously they're a good team, those two.
Mm. I'm wondering when Hugo Hagen will play.
I think he might still be a few weeks off, but I'm honestly not sure. I wanted to actually, you know, one thing I didn't talk about, which is one of my favorite things to talk about usually, is the GWS game.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I touched on before about who won, and obviously against Hawthorn they won, but like I mean, Hawthorn didn't go down softly. They still scored 95 points. That's not a bad result, you know, to lose and still score 95 points. But I don't know, GWS found something that I wasn't sure I was going to see from them this early in the season.
Mm. Yeah, agree.
So, you know, I was pretty happy to see that. But, I mean, obviously, there's only five games we can talk about. There's only so much we can drill down about. There's been some funny around the ground and off ground stuff happening around opening round as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess I'd love to hear anyone's thoughts about opening round. Any thoughts, reflections, questions, comments?
Love it, hate it.
Yeah, send us a text 0427-569-949. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's move on. Let's move on from opening round. There was some funny stuff that happened. One of the things that caught the media attention was Forrest Gump himself. You might know him as Forrest Gump, or I remember him from, you know, Philadelphia.
I remember him.
Tom Hanks was at the GWS game.
Who knew?
I know because I know Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson. She was in, remember Now and Then, the 90s movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know for a fact, I don't know if they live in Australia, but I know Tom Hanks is quite, they're in Australia quite a lot. But they were seen at the GWS game and the camera, you know, Tom Hanks, love him. He's a good guy and all that. And, you know, I've never met him or anything, but if he wants to come on GAFL, he's welcome. But the camera caught sight of him and he knew that the camera caught sight of him and he'd done his own interpretation of an umpire scoring.
Oh, he did the goal hands, the goal signal.
And people loved it. So that was a highlight from the GWS game. Another highlight as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's many highlights from a GWS game, the least of which not being my friend Toby.
Yeah, yeah. How was Toby?
Toby's always amazing.
Yeah.
He didn't get suspended or fined.
It's opening round.
So he did say, and we mentioned on the last show, he said he was going, that was his last one. He was done for a bit. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens this week, Toby.
Exactly. Now, I want to move on to some news because, as you mentioned, Christopher, there was some off-field antics. One thing that only came out this week, which happened last year, in November last year, and the footy media is pretty on the ball with these sorts of things, part of the pun. Not even the footy media. I mean, big footy, they're always pretty on top of any gossip or rumours.
I love that you put big footy in the footy media commentary. Does that mean we're in the footy media commentary?
We're probably more qualified than big footy. So, yeah, something that happened, for those of you that didn't see it, there was an incident last year that some of the Hawthorn boys were in the United States and they landed themselves in some trouble.
To misquote Monty Python, he's not the vice captain. He's a very naughty boy.
Yeah. So, in Arizona, Dylan Moore and Connor McDonald, they were, they were doing what we all do in our off season. They were having a bit of fun and they had a couple of drinks and they ended up on a scissor lift. I don't know if they were stealing it. That's not a metaphor. They were on a scissor lift.
Yeah.
Look, there's been a lot said about it. And Dylan Moore, they've both made apologies. And Dylan Moore has been strict with his co-captaincy.
And his right to enter the U.S.
And his right to enter the U.S. But, I mean, is it horrible that in the game that we love when it comes to off-season antics, misbehavior like this is almost refreshing? Because, look, They were being boys would be boys. They weren't physically harming anyone.
Yeah.
They had a little bit too much to drink and they jumped on a scissor lift.
Yeah, I think essentially if you're going to make an off-field indiscretion that results in charges pending, trespassing is probably one of the better ones that you can redeem yourself from. The interesting thing about this story, I can't even remember where I saw it. I did hear that because he was stripped of the vice captaincy because of that. Yeah. And Hawthorn made this big song and dance about the new appointments, which is great. Like, obviously, we support that. Mm. But even the team didn't know that this was pending. They only found out the day the news broke a couple of days ago.
I just can't believe they kept a lid on it. Like, it happened last November.
Yeah. And apparently, there is still potentially follow-up that's going to happen over in the States. So, I mean, watch that space, I suppose. But like you said, and like I said, you know, there are worse things you can do.
Exactly, Riz. There are worse things you could do.
I can forgive this one. He didn't, you know, beat up a woman or...
He didn't physically assault someone.
Yeah, you know, so like, I know that that's a weird...
What a bar to set.
Yeah, I know. But like, I think I can look the other way with this one. I think he's got his punishment.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to play some Traff coming up. And I've got a song that I want to dedicate to my supreme himself, Christian Petrarca. This is Robbie Williams Supreme.
You're listening to GAFL, a queer footy show with Chris and Brendan on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for staying with us here on GAFL. We have been recapping opening round and previewing round one, but we were just talking about one of the Hawthorn boys being a very naughty boy. And do you know who else has been a very naughty boy, Brendan?
I'm shudder to think.
Well, it's one that we do like to call out from time to time. Bailey Smith.
Yeah, okay. Look, we've talked on air and off air, look, I have my thoughts, my personal opinion. Sometimes I think people should just grow up. So obviously everything that happened last year with Mad Monday causing drama.
Can you just recap what the drama was in case anyone missed it?
Yeah. So for anyone that missed it last year, Mad Monday, who was it? Max Holmes dressed up as Caroline Wilson for Mad Monday. Bailey Smith dressed up as a cowboy, and him and Patty Dangerfield were in a picture hugging and put a little remark, which some considered homophobic. Personally, I did consider it homophobic, making a reference to Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bailey Smith put some the drip emoji on the picture of Max Holmes as Caroline Wilson.
With
and
a quote along the lines of she's never looked better.
Yeah. And there was a lot of talk about it. There was a lot of, you know, people defending Bailey Smith, the whole boys will be boys thing, and Caroline Wilson. That. Yeah, we all do. Caroline Wilson had a lot to say. And it was quiet for a little bit. And obviously with Mad Monday was basically Geelong won't do it anymore because of everything that happened. Well, they will do it, but it won't be publicised.
And it won't be like that.
Yeah, it won't be like that. So Caroline Wilson did an interview on 3AW. And look, I know a lot of people have their thoughts about her. I think she's quite a lightning rod. She's very polarising in the AFL community.
Yeah.
I'm saying my personal opinions, I think it is because she is an older woman she's not afraid to voice her opinion, and she has opinions, and she's been doing this for like 25 years. So I think she deserves some respect.
And let's not forget how much people hate a woman with strong opinions in a men's world.
Yeah. And I don't always agree with her takes, but I do certainly agree with this take. So she was on the radio this week talking about, she was asked about that incident. It wasn't brought up. And she had some quotes about Bailey Smith where she said, and I quote, "A Bailey Smith is gutless and he makes horrible comments about women." She also sort of talked about how she was quite disappointed with the way Geelong handled it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of defense about Bailey Smith, and she didn't get really anything from, she talked about her disappointment of not hearing from Chris Scott. She thought they had a bit of a better relationship.
Yeah.
Her understanding was she's in the media. He's a coach. It's a transactional relationship.
Yeah.
But she expected better. And she made a comment that I actually agree with, where she feels like Bailey Smith's on-field and off-field, more his off-field antics, kind of bring down the reputation of Geelong. And I know he's 25, but how much excuses can we make for someone? Like, I just think if you don't want people to treat you like a misogynistic flog, maybe don't act like a misogynistic flog. And when you're primarily making comments, when you're being stupid and you're doing stupid things, you're constantly on your phone, you're swearing at female photographers that are at training that are paid to be there and they're just there to take photos. I mean, just grow up, dude. Like, quit cosplaying as, I've always felt like, my personal opinion was, I've always felt like he's a private school boy that cosplays as a working class. Yep. And I always say that Ginnivan is what he thinks he is.
Yeah. And I can look the other way with Ginnivan. Ginnivan's cheeky. And I wasn't a fan of Ginnivan at Collingwood, but moving on to Hawthorn, I think he's matured a little bit. He still has his moments, like that thing with the ring under his glove that he wasn't supposed to do in opening round his comment on social media.
Was that like a fitness?
I think it was. Yeah. But you're still not allowed to wear them. There is a very firm policy
true,
that. Yeah. But my thing with Bailey Smith, and you touched on this, but Caroline Wilson said it best, and I am going to misquote her, and I'm sorry for that, Caroline, because she actually said it beautifully, which was that she feels that Geelong have lowered their standards to meet his. And that's so disappointing for me. I'm obviously not, you know, Geelong's not my team, but I have a massive soft spot. Geelong have always been the statesman of the AFL. They're the nice boys. You could take them home to meet your mum. They're really respectful when they let their footy do the talking.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for me, they knew this when they took him on, they seem to have made a collective decision to turn a blind eye to the off-field stuff because of the success he has on field. He's very successful on field, and his implementation into the unit of Geelong has been quite successful if you look at last year. But unfortunately for me, I can't look past the off-field behaviour, and he does have form on his treatment of women, which I'm very uncomfortable with. And I think as well, like, for me, like, it doesn't add anything. I'm happy with him being a personality. I'm happy with his brand. I'm happy with his sponsorships and all those things. But I think unfortunately, the behaviour is too much of a distraction from the what he adds to the team.
Agree. I'm going to echo exactly what you said and what Caro said about that, where it does feel like, yeah, the reputation of Geelong is being brought down. And it's kind of like, well, it should be the other way around, especially when they've given him such an amazing opportunity. I mean, he, no, very skilled player. He was injury. He had an injury. He was off for a while with Bulldogs. Geelong took him on, and I think the hope and the expectation was that he'd let the footy do the talking. But the fact of the matter is, he acts like a flog off the ground, and it's just it's embarrassing.
I wanted it to go the way of what we just talked about with Hawthorn and Ginnivan, where Ginnivan is still his cheeky little shit that he is, but he actually plays well, and his stuff is more larrikin behavior. Footy is built on larrikins. It's always been the way, but I think there's a difference between larrikin and when you actually cross that line into quite offensive behavior and comments.
And I just, the attitude as well, like I can't, it's just like, kind of grow up, like stop constantly posting on social media that the media is attacking you. When you're doing all these things, you're actively provoking it. I do think there's a bit of an attention seeking aspect to it, but
Yeah, and I think as well that's a really nice juxtaposition with the next story that we were going to talk about, which is the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, anyone who listens to us knows that I'm a big fan of Andy McGrath. He's our new captain here at Essendon, and I wear his number. He's also a delightful man when I've met him a couple of times. But he actually came out quite unprompted on Pedestrian TV this week to talk about his personal problem with the locker room boys culture and the manosphere that is essentially associated with AFL, and not just AFL, but with men in general, particularly recently with changes in social media and influencers and stuff like that. And I was so proud. Like, I didn't think I could love this man more to hear someone who I respect so much to come out and say that, you know, this behavior is not okay. And he talked about how when he was younger, he didn't feel that he could call it out, but a bit older, a bit more experience, a bit more leadership. And he now feels that it's something that is actually a role. He actually, this is a quote, "As AFL players, we hold a really special responsibility in society to live in a way that role models the behavior that we expect from our fellow men." And he followed that up with by saying, and this is a quote, "Asking questions, being honest, being vulnerable, it's a really important step forward in making the world a better place." Isn't that the players that we should be giving attention to?
And can I just say, him and Smith are the same age. They're both 25-year-olds. But that article, if you get a chance to read it, it was on Pedestrian, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a great article.
Yeah, it was. It is a great article, and he spoke really lovely about it. And to me, the thing is, that's the world I want to live in. That's the people I want to lift up. And the manosphere, obviously, the manosphere greatly affects women and the treatment of women, and this is something that we stand against. We want to lift women up and support them, and because all of us have a place. But the manosphere also affects our community. It affects the queer community. It affects the trans community in the way, because anyone who is not a cis white straight male gets excluded and put down. And when you allow one group to be, it flows through. And I just am so grateful of Andy for standing up and saying something, because we can talk till we're blue in the face about it, but until someone that people relate to says it.
And someone that people look up to, and someone that people that respect and admire.
Yeah, I completely agree. And there was actually, we're running short on time, but do you want to just touch on Carlton as well?
Yeah, I mean, there was a bit of an event. Anyone that watches it, anyone that sees, anyone that's been keeping an eye on social media, Carlton, obviously, with their big loss last week, former captain Sam Doherty went on. Well, he didn't actually.
No.
Dan Does Footy, you know, popular podcast. You may have heard of it. We're fans of him. In a friendly way, Sam Doherty actually sent him a voicemail, sort of, I guess,
expressing his frustrations.
Yeah, in a couple of, a couple of choice words. Look, he was frustrated and annoyed. And he's come out and said he didn't realize it was going to be used to go to air. And Dan actually played his voicemail message. And there's been a lot of discourse online about it.
Carlton are most displeased.
Carlton, yep. Sam Doherty's come out and said he didn't think it was going to be used verbatim, his voicemail. He knew it was strong comments. Dan is one of his best mates, and he understands that's what his podcast about. But, it's interesting, the backlash afterwards. I mean, Doherty's been blacklisted for weeks from quite a few events. And, I'm sorry, but this guy is, he,
he's great.
He was great. And yeah. he played battling testicular cancer twice in his yeah. career, playing for the team. Look, I think he's allowed to have some thoughts and feelings. And yeah, I just...
I mean, I don't want to throw too much shade at Dan Does Footy. Like, yeah. obviously, Dan Does Footy is a great content creator.
I mean, teammates.
Yeah, yeah. And they're friends. Like, I think what happened, and maybe it was a misstep, and I think Dan's even come out and said today that it was maybe a bad call. Mm. But I think sometimes, and we have this as well, sometimes being around the footy clubs as much as people are, and he's much more invested and close than we are to it, sometimes you hear things or get told things that maybe are off the record. And yeah. it's about blurring that line between the friendship and the on and off the record that I think has maybe caused a bit of grief for some people, particularly for Carlton, particularly for Doherty. Mm. And, you know, I'm sure Dan learned something from this, and it was obviously not malicious, but yeah, I think that was just a moment.
Yeah. Certainly was.
All right, so we are going to go to some more brief messages and we'll be back with you very shortly.
You're listening to GayFL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for staying with us here on GayFL. Always a pleasure to have you here. And don't forget, there is still a few minutes to text in on 0427 Joy 949. But before we do... Oh, we actually have got a few text messages. Let's have a look at what we've got here. So someone only watched the Grand Prix to pass the time. So excited for footy to be back. Love how the games have higher scores. Yeah, 100%. And the pace has got really fast. It's got the crowd going for sure. They asked, are there any particular games we're looking forward to?
All of them.
Look,
I'm looking for Indigenous Round and Gather Round Anzac Day.
We have great tickets to Anzac Day and also Dreamtime at the G, which we are very, very pumped for. I'm actually oddly excited about. We're going to the North Melbourne Essendon game in a few weeks. I'm pretty keen for that one because one of our friends is Katie's coming with us, which I'm very much looking forward to. I think this week though, Bulldogs GWS is going to be one to watch. If we talk about round one, that's the one I'm most excited about.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think we've got another text that's just come in as well. Oh, someone agrees with me. That's always nice.
Yeah.
Someone agreed with our comments on Bailey Smith. Thank you for agreeing with us. He thinks this game makes up for it. Ginnivan is cheeky. At least he has no malice. Yeah, no, thank you. I feel like whoever texted that in, thank you for texting that in. I feel like you got what we were trying to say with that. So thank you very much. But it is our last break of the show. We're running short on time, but we still have a few things to get through, and not the least of which is the following.
It's time to take a look at Stars Around. Miss the latest off-field antics and hijinks? We've got it covered for you.
We sure do here on Stars Around. This is our time where we think about all the weird and wacky things that happen on and off the field, particularly off the field. We actually have a bunch this week now that the games are back.
Yeah.
Do you want me to start or should you start?
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
I actually have three, if I may. Look, I did say that I was done talking nice about the Bulldogs, but I actually want to call out Bevo, the coach of the Bulldogs. I do like that man. He was doing a live cross for the game on the weekend, and they managed to get him to sing on air.
I can't imagine Bevo singing on air.
It was honestly, look it up. I think it was on Channel 7. It was honestly the best thing ever. And he was just vibing, and I think he just forgot he was on air. It was really something special. I really quite enjoyed it. I love when the coaches show a bit of personality.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
That tickled your fancy.
And that's not the only singing that happened or didn't happen in opening round.
Yeah.
We were talking about a couple of people. I think we were talking about Kerno, you know, doing so well in the red up there up at the Harbour Bridge. And we were also talking about his crosstown rival in Clayton Oliver. Both their teams had wins on the weekend.
Ah, go ahead. Tell us about it.
And look, if you're playing for a new club and what is arguably both highly successful clubs, maybe you should learn the team song before you feel like, I don't know. I feel like that should be part of the training because both of them or neither of them actually knew the words to the song and they were doing the crosses to the room.
Give them some sheet music. No,
well, that's the funny thing because GWS about 2 hours ago, just before we went to air, we love GWS social media team. They presented Clayton Oliver with a self-addressed envelope and he opens it up and it was the lyrics to the song.
Oh my God, that is hilarious.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. But you know, look, Snaps, they probably had bigger things on their mind than the lyrics. But I did quite enjoy watching them. If you've ever tried to lip sync badly or watched a Drag Race episode where someone doesn't know the words, it's pure chaos.
It's kind of like when you're singing Happy Birthday, but you're not singing Happy Birthday.
Except everyone knows the words to Happy Birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Just if you don't know the words, just do a hoedown. Just, you know, pull an Ashley Simpson.
Can I have one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is not a funny one, but it's actually an off-field one that I really wanted to shout out. It is an Essendon story, and it's a lovely young player that we have, which is Nguyen. What's this? Jaden Nguyen?
Jaden Nguyen, yeah.
So if you don't know Jaden Nguyen, he's a new draftee to Essendon, and he's the first Vietnamese player in the AFL, in the history of the AFL.
He's a killer defender.
I said that last week or the week before after the practice match. I had no idea. He's great. But so he was talking about how he sees himself as taking this opportunity to be a role model to create pathways for young Asian athletes to, because like everyone says, and he said this, you can't be what you can't see. And he's being something that he didn't have in the media. And I loved that Essendon put that video out, and I love that he's doing that. And I love that the AFL are now doing a unique cultures round this year instead of obviously we love Indigenous round. It's huge and it's great, but I love that they're going to celebrate some other cultures because the game is getting more and more diverse.
Oh, absolutely. As Australia, it should be. So that's really exciting. I guess mine aren't nearly as exciting as yours. The first one I'm going to talk about, it's kind of, you know, pretty standard. If you can believe Rory Lobb, he's changing his hair again. Groundbreaking.
I love when he does that.
He does. So he's gone and bleached it for his 200th game. So that's going to be a good one to watch. But he's put some, I don't know what it is. It's some Roman numerals.
I think it might be the 200. Oh, I think it's 200 in Roman numerals.
That makes sense.
I mean, I don't. It's like that Rocky V. No, I'm pretty sure it was the 200 Roman numerals. I didn't learn.
I'm pretty sure you're right on that one.
But I'm just waiting for the comments on what his partner says.
Oh God, that poor thing. Look, it looks great now, but his hair's going to be falling out something shocking in a couple of years.
Don't we know it?
Now the other one for me was a little bit more cheeky, actually. Talking about our favorite team, Essendon, I guess. The boys revealed that they did cheeky Santa last year.
They sure did.
We all do. Cheeky Santa, give a bit of a cheeky gift to your friend, your acquaintance, or your teammate. And it was revealed that Zach Merritt got a cheeky gift from Jai Cordwell. He got him a signed Hawthorn Guernsey, signed by Jack Ginnivan himself.
What more could you possibly want? I'd honestly add that to my collection happily if Zach doesn't want it.
Look, just look it up. It's probably on eBay. But I thought that was a bit of a lull.
I think that was a really nice way to put a close on the Zach Merritt Hawthorn trade debacle.
There was an interview in the last couple of days. We'll talk about that next week.
I think that is something that we can talk about next week because, oh my God, I'm so excited. Do you know what I'm excited for? You know what's coming. We had games, and that can only mean one thing.
It's time to look at the unintentionally homoerotic commentary made by our friends in the media with
UHC.
Oh, God. You have been waiting and waiting and waiting for the last couple of months for this, haven't you?
Brendan and I spent a lot of time researching our shows, but despite what it sounds like, we do spend a lot of time researching these shows. This is my favorite bit. The three of us sit around at home all taking notes.
The three of us? Are we like 2.5 people?
No, your brother is there as well. I do count your brother as a person from time to time. So we have a very short, it was a short opening round. So we have some very short UHC to throw in there for you this week. And without any context, I'm going to take it away with Hewitt just pokes a little ball into space and Fogarty can't do anything about it.
Filling the hole comfortably in the end was Jordan.
I think we can all appreciate when it's filled comfortably. Big boy with big power.
And Florin out the back doing what he does best.
And Roberts went in hard. And that is how the commentator said it.
And I have to say, I'm glad that this is the last one you gave me because we started this episode praising this guy and I'm going to finish praising him. And Petrarca bursting through the front.
And there are so many things I want to say, but in response to that, but out of respect for Christian, I'm not going to say.
Look, he looks good in red.
He looks good in red. He looks good in anything.
Yeah.
But we are a big fan of Christian Petrarca. We're also a big fan of you for sticking with us through our episode. It's actually really exciting because now footy's back. We're going to be spoiled with things to talk about. I mean, I think tomorrow night, traditional opening round, Carlton Richmond, game 6 of the season in the opening game.
It's when the real game starts.
I actually saw a funny thing today where it was shade between Nick Dacos and a rugby player put on Channel 7, and the rugby player, or Nick, was saying footy's about to start, and he's like, didn't 5 games play last week? And he called our sport like idiots. I was like, yeah, we'll all take that banter. We are excited for the games. I'm excited to see Essendon play this week.
Hawthorn,
I'm absolutely terrified.
I'm nervous. I'm excited. I'm terrified.
But full snaps to the AFL for listing that on their website, on their social media today as a high stakes game. Not for us, I don't think it's.
I'm just excited to see the 3 debuts.
Yeah, I am. Oh, I'm so. I told you Hussey was going to debut in round 1. I did tell you after that practice match.
You said it. You were right.
Look, and no disrespect to the other two that are debuting as well, but I'm so keen to see him hit the ground. I'm so keen to see our boys hit the ground. We will be watching this one from the couch.
Yep, and we'll probably be crying.
We will probably be crying, and we'll probably be complaining about it on the show next week about what a long season it is ahead. That's something for you to look forward to on the next installment of GAFL. See you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to GAFL with Brendan and Chris.
For more queer footy content, find us on all your favourite podcast platforms at GAFL, a queer footy show.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.